Yes, my dear friends, we are in the book of Ephesians. And there are a few things that really need to be clarified here. You see, 3 years ago, by the grace of God, after many, many, many years of religion, being very tormented, how do we get saved? Because I did, at the best of my capacity, all what the preachers and teachers and pastors of the evangelical church, the Pentecostal, the Baptist, the Methodist, would tell us to do. I repented of my sins. I realized I was a sinner. That's not difficult. I knew it was, I was a sinner. But I confessed my sins. I repented. I got water baptism. I even got the so-called baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is not proper description anyway, you know, in the Pentecostal church. And I was claiming all the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ when in his earthly ministry was speaking to his nation, Israel. I didn't know, I thought he was speaking to me, so I was claiming, ask, I shall be given to you, knock, I shall be opened to you, and so forth. And I was claiming also the letters of James for healing, you know, anointing with oil and everything, and only, you know, not healing, but some people even died. I was laying hands. I was doing all the things like if I was a kingdom of God, gospel believer at the time of Jesus, like if I was a prophet of the Old Testament. Anyway, my so-called Christian experience, Christian life, was a total failure, and the contradiction and the problems and the strife was absolutely enormous, to the point I was doubting seriously my salvation. I was living in total fear, constant fear of dropping into hell, even though I had believed in Jesus. But, you know, the doctrine was not clear because I was missing one very important element to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and to see what in this great book, the Bible, is to the nation of Israel of the past and the nation of Israel of the future, and what the Lord gives as doctrine to us, the body of Christ. So, a great revolution started, as I said, because I start to understand that I am not, you are not, the body of Christ is not a spiritual Israel or a renewed Israel, a born-again Israel. The body of Christ is the new creature. But believe me, you won't get it straight away, but when you get it, you will say to yourself, what was I listening to when I was going to the church? Besides the fact that we don't go to church. If we are believers, we are the church, the body of Christ, the pillar and ground of the truth. Anyway, let me just read in Ephesians when Paul is addressing us, the Gentiles, the Ephesians, the, you know, Ephesus, Greece, Turkey, in the Asia Minor, you know, at that time these people were Gentiles. They were not part of Israel. And he says, Ephesians 2, 1 and 4 and going forth, and you, has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So this is the condition of human beings. People are alive in the body, yes, but they are dead in trespasses and sins. They are spiritually dead. But saying here that Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, has quickened us, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Oh, wow. You know, there's so much teaching, really good teaching here. We, Gentiles, in time past, what would be this time past? The time of Israel. In the time of Israel, when even Jesus was walking in the land of Israel, in his earthly ministry to his little flock, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to us. We were walking according to the course of this world. This world, my friend, this is not talking about earth, you know, the mountains and the river. We're talking the system is against God, is in opposition to God, because we were working according to the prince of the power of the air. Do you ever stop and think, what is this all about? Who is this prince of the power of the air? And here defines by itself, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Sorry if I get carried away. This is Pentecostal some baggage. He's talking about Lucifer, Satan, the enemy, the devil, the adversary. He is the prince of the power of the air. Do you understand this? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times, plural, past, in the lust of our flesh. Please notice, not one lust, many, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Every day, you open your eyes to a new day. Here, you got to realize, we have to realize, that we live in a world which is under the curse of sin, and is run, this world, from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And the people that we see, we meet, nice people, I'm not saying go around, you know, looking at people in a nasty way, no. They are by nature, like we were, the children of wrath, even as others. What does it mean? They are in Adam. They are in the fallen Adam, in fallen humanity, dead in trespasses and sins. But Christ has done something wonderful. That's what Paul is telling us. If we are believers in the gospel of Christ, here, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, wow, I love this. God is a God of grace and also a God of mercy. He is rich in mercy. What does it mean, mercy? He doesn't give us what we deserve. We don't even deserve to be alive. We don't deserve another day. Doesn't matter what you think you are, you know, you're such a fantastic person, fantastic husband, a fantastic wife, fantastic child. You are a sinner, you are in opposition, you are an enemy of God. You are a child of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, God, please, the attention of the Spirit of God is on God, not on you and me, on God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, not love normally, great love, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. I really pray so much, I desire so much that you and I, and anybody listening to this little tape, understands that salvation is the work of God. Thank God for that. It's a perfect work of God in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, by the cross of Christ. You and I cannot add anything to the work of salvation, neither take anything. Can be the beneficiaries if we simply believe. That's why Paul here, inspired by the Holy Ghost, says, by grace you are saved. And has raised us up together. So that's amazing. God has showed grace, showed great mercy, great love, and has quickened us together with Christ, even when we're dead in sins. Now this has happened where? At the cross. By the cross, actually. Sorry, not at the cross. Forget this at. By the cross. Nothing happened for you and me at the cross. and nobody even understood what was happening. The people of Israel, seeing this young man who said he was the Messiah, who said he was God in the flesh, I know, I believe, but they didn't believe it, you know. Actually, they crucified him because blasphemy, you bigger man, make yourself God. This 33-year-old young Jewish man dying on that cross, they didn't understand what was happening. But God knew. He was giving salvation to his nation, Israel, for the earthly kingdom that was going to come. And they not rejected the kingdom, so it will come into the future. And even to us, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We, Gentiles, he was giving us salvation by grace. What does it mean? Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Love, forgiveness, salvation, acceptance in Christ, in His beloved. Not only that, when Christ then was risen from the dead, God was raising the believers. He knew which one would be in the future. Together with Him, and even ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ ascended, as you know, and then he sat at the right hand of God. God made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Please, not everybody knows, but I got to go one moment in Genesis 1:1. Not everybody knows. Everybody should know, but the people don't know because they believe television, NASA, scientists, professors, the experts in evolution, you know, from the monkey, the Big Bang, all this idiocy. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, created the heaven and the earth. Straight away, we see two realities, two kingdoms, two realms, heaven and earth. We will see in the course of the Bible two programs of God, one for the heaven, who was a mystery, it was hidden God before even the foundation of the world. This was His purpose. And one for earth, for Israel, the prophetic program for Israel, for the kingdom on earth. God gains, takes back, so to say, takes back full control of heaven and earth through two agencies, the body of Christ for heaven, the nation, the restored, the born again, under the new covenant nation of Israel on earth, when Jesus Christ will come back the second time for Israel and will establish His kingdom on earth. Let's go back to Ephesians, where we were before. Ephesians chapter 2. And what do we read? And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, we're living now in one age, better called dispensation of the grace of God. When this age comes to an end, like all the ages before did come to an end, an appointed end that God is Himself established, will come another age, the tribulation, 7 years period, and after that, there will be the age of the kingdom age, the 1,000-year physical, real reign of Christ on earth, from Jerusalem, together with the 12 sitting on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Gentile nations that will be saved during the Great Tribulation through the ministry of the restored Israel. They will enjoy 1,000-year kingdom of God on earth with Jesus Christ personally reigning, ruling with a rod of iron, really, but peace, prosperity, tranquility on earth and in the life of people. But after that, other ages are coming. God is eternal, my friend. When we talk about God, please don't think what religion, you know, makes you believe in, you know, a statue or somebody who had a beginning, or, you know, very false, very corrupt, very twisted, contorted images or imaginations of God. God is from the beginning in eternity past to the eternity future. God is eternal. God never had a beginning himself. He is. That's one of his names. I am. Hold your peace, because I'm going to say something about this. I am. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Not through your denomination, or my denomination, I haven't got any, but let's say Pentecostal, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, they're all the same. They're all preaching another gospel, another Jesus, another Spirit. And they are not giving you a simple, glorious gospel of Christ that saves you, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was risen for our justification. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Romans 4. Look here, Romans 4. What does it say? 25. Jesus was delivered for our offenses. Offenses, sins, transgressions. God himself delivered, gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, and was raised, risen from the dead, again, raised again, hallelujah, glory to God, for our justification. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. That in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. God is kind. Oh yes, he's a God of wrath. If you want to meet him in wrath, no worry, you will meet him in wrath. Simply stay as you are. Reject the gospel of Christ and you will meet him in wrath. But don't. It's not necessary. Because why don't you meet him in kindness, in love, in peace, justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Can you read English? I'm not English, so my English is not very good, but I can read. For by grace are ye saved. It doesn't say, you're getting saved, you will be saved, maybe if you really behave like a good kid. No! It's declaring the salvation that God accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and says it's an actual fact now, the moment you believe. That's glorious news. By grace, not by works, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No flesh will boast in the presence of God. None of us, the best of us, is failure, is destined to the eternal fires of hell. I got to tell you, man. I don't like to talk about hell because it's horrible. The lack of fire is not for 1,000 years, 1 million years. It's forever and ever and ever. It's torment, it's suffering, it's pain away from this glorious God. But it's not necessary because it was prepared, that the hell was prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. Jesus says this. And in the fourth gospel, Jesus talks so much about hell that for you and me or anybody, doubt that means you really are blockhead. Sorry, I got to, you are a blockhead. sadness blocked you so much, it blinded you, that you don't see anymore the reality that hell is so real. That's why Christ died for our sins, so that we don't go to hell. If we believe what is done, that's all it is. He's not asking for you to be baptized in water that they preach you. It's not true. You enter a dry sinner into the water, you come out a wet sinner, and if you die, you will drop into hell, and the fires of hell will evaporate that water of the baptism in 1 second, and you will burn for eternity. Don't be fooled. There are no rituals. There is no religion that can save you. There is no prayers and confessions of sins or repentance. Nothing. Only the blood of Christ. He died for our sins. It's not enough for you that the Son of God, God Himself, God in the flesh, the one in whom dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, died for our sins? What do you want more? Or what do you think that you can give to God or I can give to God? Nothing. Let's get this gospel and say, thank you, Lord, you saved me by your blood. You redeemed me. You bought me back. You shed the blood. All I got to do is not a work. It's simply believe. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is not a work. Faith means I believe. It's between you and God, you know. Don't show off to me. I don't need to see you confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't need anything from you. You don't need anything from me. But you need, I need everything from God. And the moment you believe this gospel, He saves you. And He said, and that not of yourselves, not the faith, the gift of God is not from yourselves. It's from Christ Himself, the salvation. Some people say it's the faith. Everybody's got faith. God has given the measure of faith to every man. Enough to be saved and to become a son, a daughter of God in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. Not the works, lest any man should boast. God says, boast in me. I have saved you. I shed my blood. God is imploring you. Oh, that's really amazing. 5. 2 Corinthians 5. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God, the Creator of the heaven and the earth, the mighty God, the Most High God, the Almighty God, using people useless in their flesh like me or any other believer that really has this gospel to preach, to say, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, because God is not imputing sins. The problem is no more sin. Sin has been taken care of by the cross of Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ. God had been imputing. Imputing means giving, accusing, putting on Jesus Christ, my sins, your sins, the sins of everybody. And the moment we believe that Christ became sin for us, He paid the price to this level, we become the righteousness of God. We be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. All the riches of God, the wonderful, glorious, unspeakable riches of Christ, of God, are in Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope you understand this. I really hope it. I'm going to show you that Christ is God in a way that is going to really surprise you. Hold it. I received this from a wonderful brother. An interesting list of verses you have never seen before. Jesus Christ Himself says, I am. something like 684 times. Jesus Christ says, I am, 684 times. I am is the definition, the name of God when he presented himself in the Old Testament to Moses. When Moses had been called by God, you know, the story of the bush, the burning bush, to go and be a deliverer for the Lord of the people of Israel, which were in slavery with the Egyptians. And Moses said, they will ask me, who is sending you? And you will say, I am, is the one that sends you. I am that I am. Because God, you see, he is now, he is yesterday, he is tomorrow. The yesterday, the now, the today, tomorrow is for us, because we live in a dimension of space and time. But God lives in eternity. He is. He was, he will be, because in reality that's another way to say he is continually, all the time. He is eternal. And Jesus Christ is God. I read you a few. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Look here. I'm not come. I am Abel. I am come. I am come. I am meek and low, and lowly in heart. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But whom said ye that I am? You can go and find this. Make a word search, I am, in the King James Bible, the faithful, reliable, preserved, perfect, inspired, without error, King James Bible, and find this for yourself. Christ speaks of himself in the first person 684 times. That's a number you never heard before. Let's go back to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And then he said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that we're saved, we are enabled to work good works, but not for salvation, but as a result. In gratitude now serve God, in thankfulness. And you know, the greatest thing you can do, be thankful. Say, Lord, I thank you so much. I do it this very moment. I say, Lord, I thank you so much. I deserve the hell. I would deserve hell even now. But you have saved me once and for all. And you have sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He took our sins away. He was risen for our justification. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the work of the Spirit of God. You cannot seal. You can't save yourself. And once saved, you cannot seal yourself so that you are saved to eternity. That's the work of God. That's why once you are saved forever. Why? Because you didn't save yourself. God saved you. And you cannot keep yourself saved. But God seals you with the Holy Spirit. You see? Our promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, so to say, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Let's go again where we were. Wow. Wherefore remember. That's what you got to remember. Why the Holy Spirit says, wherefore remember? That ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that's how we were, who are called uncircumcision, the uncircumcised dogs, the Goyim, the despised, unclean Gentiles, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time, when Jesus was walking in Israel, in his 33 years, in his ministry, earthly ministry to the nation of Israel, at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, aliens and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, by God, but now, thank you, Lord, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you understand here? He's not talking about war. He's not talking about confession of sins. He's not talking about repentance. He's not talking about tithing. He's not talking about going to church every Sunday. And he's not talking about pretending to be something you are not. He's giving you the glorious gospel of Christ so that you and I know that we are saved by the grace of God, by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is preaching this message? The Apostle Paul. In these 13 letters from Romans to Philemon. Romans to Philemon. Yes. 13 letters. Hope that you get it.